voices into their minds, and listen through their words into their lives. And what I find there is beyond imagining. And now, the Hot Zone.
Part 1. The Shadow of Mount Elgon. Something in the Forest. 1980, New Year's Day. Charles Monet was a loner. He was a Frenchman who lived by himself in a little wooden bungalow on the private lands of the Nzoia Sugar Factory, a plantation in western Kenya that spread along the Nzoia River within sight of Mount Elgon, a huge, solitary, extinct volcano that rises to a height of 14,000 feet near the edge of the Rift Valley. Monet's history is a little obscure. As with so many expatriates who end up in Africa, it's not clear what brought him there. Perhaps he'd been in some kind of trouble in France, or perhaps he'd been drawn to Kenya by the beauty of the country. He was an amateur naturalist, fond of birds and animals, but not of humanity in general. He was 56 years old, of medium height and medium build, with smooth, straight brown hair, a good-looking man. It seems that his only close friends were women who lived in towns around the mountain. Yet even they could not recall much about him for the doctors who investigated his death. His job was to take care of the sugar factory's water pumping machinery, which drew water from the Nzoia River and delivered it to many miles of sugarcane fields. They say that he spent most of his day inside the pump house by the river, as if it pleased him to watch and listen to machines doing their work. So often in a case like this, it's hard to pin down the details. The doctors remember the clinical signs because no one who has seen the effects of a biosafety level 4 hot agent on a human being can ever forget them. But the effects pile up, one after the other, until they obliterate the person beneath them. The case of Charles Monet emerges in a cold geometry of clinical fact, mixed with flashes of horror so brilliant and disturbing that we draw back and blink, as if we're staring into a discolored alien sun. Monet came into the country in the summer of 1979, around the time that the human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV, which causes AIDS, made a final breakout from the rainforests of Central Africa and began its long burn through the human race. AIDS had already fallen like a shadow over the population, although no one yet knew it existed. It had been spreading quietly along the Kinshasa Highway, a transcontinental road that wanders across Africa from east to west and passes along the shores of Lake Victoria within sight of Mount Elgon. HIV is a highly lethal but not very infective biosafety level 2 agent. It doesn't travel easily from person to person, and it does not travel through the air. You don't need to wear a biological spacesuit while handling blood infected with HIV. Monet worked hard in the pump house during the week, and on his weekends and holidays, he would visit forested areas near the sugar factory. He would bring food with him, and he would scatter it around and watch while birds and animals ate it. He could sit in perfect stillness while he observed an animal. People who knew him recalled that he was affectionate with wild monkeys, that he had a special way with them. They said that he would sit holding a piece of food while a monkey approached him, and the animal would eat from his hand. In the evenings, he kept to himself in his bungalow. He had a housekeeper, a woman named Johnny, who cleaned up and prepared his meals. He was teaching himself how to identify African birds. A colony of weaver birds lived in a tree near his house, and he spent time watching them build and maintain their bag-like nests. They say that one day near Christmas, he carried a sick bird into his house where it died, perhaps in his hands. The bird may have been a weaver bird, no one knows, and it may have died of a level 4 virus, no one knows. He also had a friendship with a